you please pray for me this morning? I'd like to call your attention to the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 16. I want to begin reading this morning at the 16th verse of Acts chapter 16. We'll read down through the 40th verse. Acts 16, 16 through 40. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." They spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. When it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come out themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. They went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. When they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. I love the Acts of the Apostles. It's something to read about how the Lord walked with the disciples and the apostles and those in the early church as they went from place to place, sometimes from house to house, city to city, preaching the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The message that you and I today are able to share with one another and are able to give to one another. The absolute importance of us being here this morning to hear that message, to feed on this word, and to learn more and more about it is just emphasized over and over in the Acts of the Apostles. These men, their lives were constantly in danger. If you read the account of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you'll see that he suffered much for the cause. I thought about these verses yesterday and was with the brethren over at Robinson River and thought about Brother Jason and myself and how sometimes we as ministers start feeling like, you know, we have such a hard road to hoe and have such a difficult time. And it's not only preachers who get that way, but sometimes we all get that way and think things are so difficult for us here in this world in which we're living. And as we see our nation degenerate and go down and go contrary to so many things upon which our nation was built upon, we get the feeling that, boy, things are really hard today. We have a really hard time in which to live. And then I read that account in 2 Corinthians 11 about the Apostle Paul being stoned and beaten and many times left for dead, and all of the things that he had suffered. He suffered shipwreck, he suffered peril, he suffered all types of things. But he did those things for an absolute reason. And the reason was that he would share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with others of God's little sheep that needed to hear the message, so that they might have the peace and the rest that comes in embracing what Jesus did for us at Calvary. Brethren, we have an important story, an important truth to share in this world with God's little children who are living in this world in need of that very truth. This case shows the wonderful working of God in the life of the Apostle Paul. And it wasn't just Paul here, but we have Paul and Silas. We have Timothy, which you read about earlier. And we have Luke, who's the writer. We have a first-hand account of this. And we see throughout the Acts of the Apostles the wonderful miracles that God performed to confirm that what they were preaching was so. Somebody would say, how do you know this Bible is so? Well, we know it's so because God's given it by inspiration. He's also taught us in our hearts that it's so. But the Bible has been confirmed with wonderful miracles and signs that followed the early church and the apostles. The signs of healing, the signs of tongues, the signs that sometimes people claim to have in this day and age were there in the early church, in order to confirm that the word that was being written and penned down was indeed the word of God. And today you and I would say, well, shouldn't we have those same kinds of confirmation today, brethren? We have in our Bibles a word that has been given complete. From beginning to end, it truly furnishes us unto all good works. And this word which we're reading from has been confirmed already by the signs that came to the apostles. Now, is God still working in areas of healing? Well, we sure were wasting our time mentioning all the folks that were sick this morning and praying to God for healing if we don't believe God heals. I believe God heals today, don't you? I believe God is able to heal a knee that's hurt. I believe that God is able to open an eye that can't see. I believe God is the one who is really the one who heals all our diseases and all our iniquities. He is the only healer that he is. But you see, in this day and age, we look to the Lord. We don't look to divine healers. We look to the Lord for divine healing. I believe in divine healing. I just don't believe it doesn't come through a man as it did in that day and age. It didn't really come through them. It came through them in a sense, but they were apostles. And there was a purpose for that. And that was that the word would be confirmed. Aren't you thankful today we have the word confirmed? We have a better, sure word of prophecy than if we had signs following. We have the word of God before us today. And when we read the Acts of the Apostles, you'll see the confirmation. Somebody said, where are the signs that are confirming your word? Read the Acts of the Apostles. They're right there, all the way through. Okay. We have here a condition and a situation. It says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, That's a good place to be going to. They were on the way to prayer. This morning, I hope we came to the house of prayer. I hope we came to pray. One of the major activities of the church is to pray. Don't stop praying. You pray at the beginning, you pray in the middle, and you pray at the end. We pray before we leave, we pray before we start, we pray all the way through. Brethren, when is it time to pray? All the time. And when is it time to stop? Never. We keep looking to the Lord. Pray without ceasing. And faint not. Don't be weary about that. You keep asking. If you don't get what you receive, his answer may be no, but you keep asking, and he will supply that which you need, when you need it, at the time you need it. He has and will never fail. Isn't that wonderful that we have that kind of God? And by faith we believe that he is. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. This was like we see today. Many times you'll turn on your television set and there'll be some person on the other side that says, if you'll send me such and such amount of money and just talk to me a little bit on the phone, then I can tell you what you need to do and give you advice about your future and tell you what's coming in the future and what the future holds for you. There are those of, I hope not any of us, but it may be some of us. If it does, if the shoe, like the brother said, if the shoe fits, wear it. And if you're getting hit by the chips, move. There may be some of us who can't hardly wait to get to the paper to look at the horoscope to see how our day is going to be. I hope that's not our case, but if it is, I want to warn you about all of that. I want to make it as clear and as plain and as strong as I can make it today. We are being bombarded with in a day and an age where the occult is right here. Where it used to be underground, it's on the surface right now. And that's all around us. All around us. And it doesn't look like something evil. It looks and appears and being presented like something good. There are people who claim to be able to speak to folks who've passed over on the other side. And they will make it sound like that's good. And when you think about it and you look at them, you think, well, they're helping the people. It seems to be something good, doesn't it? They say, seems like their message is good. Is that good or evil? Is that something we should have or something we shouldn't have? Does the Bible speak about that? Is there something that we should maybe dabble with a little bit? Or is it okay if I look at it every once in a while? If I don't think it means very much or just kind of mess with it, let me tell you. It starts with a little. And then it gets more and more and more and more and more and more. And that's how the devil operates. Listen, the devil doesn't come in a red suit and a pitchfork and with his ears all pointed. He comes disguising himself as an angel of light. The Bible says he himself did that. How much more would his ministers come doing that same thing? This one who was here, and it wasn't the woman speaking, it was the devil or the demon in her speaking, was saying the very truth. That they were the servants of the Most High God. Well, I ask you, was Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, were they the servants of the Most High God? Absolutely they were. It sounds like this one is saying the truth. And it sounds like they know the Most High God. And I do want you to know this, the devils do know him. They tremble at his presence. They believe in him because they know him to be. And they know their time is short. The devil himself knows his time is short, and he'll do anything he can to rob you of the joy and the rest and the peace that you as God's little children have, any way that he can. If he could, he would carry you out of the hand of God into under his dominion and his control. The good news is this, everyone that's in the hand of God was put there, placed there by God before the very foundation of the world. They were chosen in him. And not one of them can be plucked from the Father's hands, and they are his children, and not one of them will be lost. But I can tell you this, God's little children can get ensnared in this world and bring great harm and hurt to their lives by falling under the influence of wickedness. Well, let's just read about that. I've given you my thoughts about it, but I better have some confirmation. So we look to the Word of God. Listen what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. He says, "But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, what that really says to me is that if you allow him a seat, the old devil will come in and his spirits, the evil spirits will come in and sit right down with you on the bench with you. And while the preaching of the gospel is going on and the seed is being sown, they'll pluck it up, rip it up any way they can to hinder you from your growth as a little child of God. They cannot take and will not. He cannot. All the devils together could not take your eternal life. But they can sure bring you under great influence here in this world. And rob you of your joy and your testimony. Listen, one of the most important things you have as a little child of God is to be able to take the name of Jesus and share it. That's one of the most important things you have. Hopefully you are engaged in that activity every day. Sometimes you say words to do it, but most of the time you do it with your feet, with your hands, with your... You put on the whole armor of God. Notice you got something for your head, right? You got something for your breastplate. You got a breastplate of righteousness. You got your loins girded back with your truth. You got your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And you go out living what you believe. That is Jesus Christ. Listen, and we believe in a Christ who is a complete Christ. He didn't try to save his people from their sins. He did that. He didn't want to do it. He didn't hope to do it. He didn't try to get it done. He came to save them and he saved them. He knew who they were. He knew who he was dying for. He knew when he died on the cross who would be with him in glory. He's not going to be surprised who gets in and who doesn't. And it's not going to be based on one degree what you and I do. I can't add to his salvation, nor could I take from it. I'm thankful for that's the case. Because listen, if I could lose it, it's gone. And if you're trusting in yourself to get him and hold on to him, you're in trouble. Now listen, he may have you and you think that. I just want you to get out. That's a satanic influence if you're thinking that. I want you to be relieved of that burden. I want you to understand today if you get to heaven, it'll be because Jesus died for you. And there's no other way. He isn't one way. He is the only way. He isn't one truth. He's the only truth. He isn't just some life. Some would like to say, well, just have a little Jesus along with everybody else. You see, there was Jupiter here, and there were all the other gods that were here. They had gods many. And there were some who would say, well, if we can just get Jesus to be just like one of the others and have him in some way. And the world is like that today. They won't have any trouble with your religion as long as you don't say anything's wrong with theirs. The moment you stand up and say, listen, there's only one to be praised. And it's not Muhammad. It's Jesus Christ. It's nobody. There is one just a. He wasn't just one of the prophets. He's the only prophet. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Without him, there's no salvation. And with him, I have all I need. And that's what they preach. That's what they taught. That's why they got beat. That's why their backs were ripped open. I don't know what the Apostle Paul looked like, but I guarantee you he had scars he carried in his body. You don't get beat three times above measure and beat with rods and beat. I don't know all that he suffered, but I'll tell you this. I know he carried scars in his body, and he counted it a great blessing to suffer for his name's sake. He just, you know what he did? They'd leave him in one place dead. He'd get up and go right back in there. He didn't go everywhere. He went where the Spirit led him. And when the Spirit led him, he got up and went. He went. And when the Spirit led him to go, he went. That's what old preachers ought to be doing. They did it in the past. That's what we ought to do. Somebody said, you old Baptists don't believe in sharing the gospel. I tell you, it'd be a silly thing for me to travel as far as I've traveled or to see the Apostle Paul. We believe in sharing the gospel wherever the Lord opens a door, where the Lord gives me an opportunity. Listen, if I feel him leading and directing, I'd just soon preach at a gas station or a gas pump or at a school, in a schoolroom or wherever. I feel the burden in my heart to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't just in the pulpit preachers preach. And wherever the Lord opens the door. But I'm telling you, without him, nobody preaches anytime. You need him. We're going, a lot of rabbits we're chasing here this morning, I hope. I hope you're getting a little something. I know this. I want to honor Him. I want to give Him the glory and the praise. And I want us to understand that. If we have spiritual wickedness in high places. You go all the way over into the Old Testament and you read about these things. You think, some people think they have something new. And in reality, there's nothing new. They just got something old. And we read over in the passages in the Old Testament about these things. Let me get back to my text. We read over in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Needed to slow down a little bit anyway. Verse 9. That's where the Bible speaks. Talking to the nation of Israel as they went from country to nation, it says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer," which means one who claims to speak to the dead. That's what that means. "For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times and unto the diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do." The Bible's plain, isn't it? Plain about that in the New Testament. Plain about that in the Old Testament. And sometimes we say, well, it won't really hurt if I don't really believe in it to dabble with it a little bit. And that isn't just this sin, but every sin is like this. You know, the old devil does that. It won't hurt you a little bit. Listen, Gary, that little piece of cake is not going to hurt you. Just go and eat that one. Next thing you know, eat this one. And the next thing you know, eat that. Next thing you know, it's hard to carry yourself to the table to eat the next thing. And that comes home to me. It may come home to you. But I'm telling you, any sin that's in our life, any problem that you have, anything like that, it's so easy for us to justify it and kind of ease it away and play with it and dabble with it. And if you dabble with it, I'm telling you, we become under bondage with that. Now, I want you to know that I'm fighting that battle today. And when I get up in the morning, I'm going to have to fight it again tomorrow. And when I die, the day I die, as long as I'm on the face of this earth, I'm going to have to fight that battle. And I'm not talking about having it whipped. I'm talking about having that battle against sin every single day of your life. Now that's the bad news. The good news is you have one that is greater than he that is in you, than he that is in the world, who is able to deliver you. And the battle is worth fighting. Fight the good fight of faith. That means get up every day, no matter. And the old devil would say, well, you didn't do this yesterday. Well, of course I didn't. I didn't do that. And he would like you to believe that lie so that you won't do it today. Listen, today is the day of salvation. I believe that means timely deliverance right now. I can't undo what I used to do. But today I can do what I'm supposed to do by the grace of God. And when I mess up, I can go back to His grace. But I should never use grace as an excuse for licentious living. The Apostle Paul called us out of that. Somebody said, if I believe what you believe, I'd just go live any old way I wanted to. Listen, I got a want to in me to do better and act better and talk better and live better. Don't you? I want to be better. And there's a battle going on. And that wouldn't be in me if he had not put it there and placed it there. I'm praying that's the case. And if it's in you, then you walk and follow after him. You can. Listen, you have a want to. He has given us a want to live better and act better. And we should strive to do that. So salvation by grace doesn't get us away from a godly living as much as we can. As a matter of fact, it's the only way you can truly live godly. Because if you try to think you're doing it on your own, that's not pleasing him. That's just patting yourself on the back. Salvation is of the Lord, timely or eternal. Okay, let me give you this verse. Chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs, verse 14. I know many of you are probably already there. It says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. I love the way the Bible expresses that. I'm going to read it again. It says, enter not into the path. This is Proverbs 4, 14 and 15. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. That sounds like it should be enough, right? But it didn't stop there. It says, pass not by it. I mean, don't walk by it. It says, turn from it. Don't keep going. Turn around and come away from it. And it says, and pass away. Sounds like it's pretty clear. In other words, when you see something to be sin, you understand it's sin, you leave it alone. You avoid it, you pass not by it, you turn from it, and pass away. That means I need to leave those things alone. And we could put all things in there, but certainly we see from the example in Acts 16 that the Apostle Paul did not want to be identified in any way whatsoever with this false spirit, this demon. Okay. Boy, I'm way off from where I thought I'd be this morning. But I have personal experience in this area. I've seen godly people, which I consider to be dear brothers and sisters in Christ, who began just a little bit dabbling with looking at horoscopes and dabbling just a little bit looking at a newspaper and seeing what it says. And then each day it kind of got to where they wanted to look at it every day. And the next thing you know, it became the thing that they used to make decisions in their life. And the next thing you know, they thought, well, those same people would tell them, well, maybe you need to just meditate a little bit. And nothing's wrong with meditating. It relaxes you. It calms you down, right? And you just empty your mind. I'm telling you just empty your mind of everything, and the old adversary will fill it with all kinds of junk. There's some meditating God's children ought to do, but it ought to be on the Lord, right? We ought to meditate on the Lord. We ought to meditate on His Word. Don't you just don't think about anything. The Bible says think about these things, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good report, whatsoever, all of those wonderful things in the Philippian letter we're to think about. But don't let the world buy you sell you a bill of goods, or somebody who looks just like they got it all together sell you a bill of goods to get to dabble with those things, because the next thing you know, I've seen people get so involved that right now they're far, far away from the truth. And it just happened a little bit at a time. Anyway. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Sounds like they're saying something good, right? The Apostle Paul and them going preaching. It's almost like this woman was a cheerleader for them. What is that going to hurt? She's saying, she's telling everybody we're servants of the Most High God. But see, the Apostle Paul knew that she was under the influence the Scripture says she was possessed with a spirit of divination, which is a spirit, an evil spirit. And the Apostle Paul, he was grieved about that, and he wanted to make sure and have everyone understand that this is not okay, this is not of God. And what did he do? He was grieved about it. And that happened many days. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. He didn't have any trouble with it. And that's because the Lord gave him that. Who did that? Was it Paul? No, it was the Lord. And then when our master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. In other words, they got mad. You know why they got mad? Because he done hit them in the pocketbook. That's why they got mad. They got upset. Not because they were teaching and preaching about Jesus Christ. They would have been fine with them teaching and preaching about Jesus as long as Jesus had no effect on them, as long as that message had no effect. But when the Apostle Paul, by the power of God, delivered that dear sister from the influence of that satanic force, then her abilities, and listen, that tells us that those wicked spirits have some abilities. Don't think they don't have abilities. But it's not of the Lord. Listen, they have power, but it's not of the Lord. The old devil has power. He suffered to have power for a while, but it's not of the Lord. The Apostle Paul, when the Lord moved to Apostle Paul and commanded that devil to come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ, and the masters then saw that the hopes of their gains were gone. Listen, their money, their income was gone. You're messing with my income. There's a lot of people today making money on the backs of God's little children who are trying to find a measure of peace in this world. There are religious groups that are making money on the backs of God's people trying to find peace in this world. Money runs them from the top to the bottom. And they won't have any problem with us preaching whatever we preach as long as it doesn't have any effect on them. But listen, if we preach the truth and one's money gets affected, and the love of money is the root of all evil, didn't say money, but the love of it, then the next thing you know, you will come under the same persecution. As a matter of fact, we are at a time right now today that God's little children are under great persecution. And I'm afraid by the looks and the signs of the time, that's going to get worse. And we need to be ready and prepared to be faithful, no matter the cost. And he brought these to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." I'll tell you what they were teaching. They were teaching about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They were preaching Jesus and that He is the way. And what that did was point out all the other ways that weren't the way. And when you do that, that's when you upset people. As long as you preach a Jesus that doesn't affect anybody. But listen, to believe in God is to believe in the one and only God. You must preach Him as the Lord, the truth, the life. He is the one and the only. He is the King of kings. And He is the Lord of lords. "These men teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." We have the beginnings of a church here, and I'm a very unlikely member about to unite with the church. The man who just, he gives the charge. Here the Apostle Paul and Silas are in prison. They are just, because our time is really going fast. It says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them," listen, they didn't just put a stripe or two on their back. They had laid many stripes upon them. "They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." I hope we can get a visual of this a little bit. Didn't just put them on the outside of the prison, put them on the inner prison. You know why? Because these men have shown they have some power. There are some things here we got to watch them. They're sneaky, and they gave that charge to the jailer. I couldn't get the word. Sorry. They gave that charge to the jailer. And the jailers took it seriously. He said, "These men, I've got to watch them. I'm going to have to put them not on the outside, but I'm going to put them in the inner prison." And now I can imagine these two men there in the inner prison, in the dark, in the inner prison, in the inner part. No light. There they are, fast in the stocks. You know, just there in the stocks, their hands in the stock, their feet in the stocks, made their feet fast in the stocks. And there they were. I can think about sometimes I've been talking to a dear old Baptist minister, and we'd have a little pity party on the phone. We'd be saying how bad things was, and I'd be getting down, he'd be getting down, we wouldn't get any better. I'm saying, wonder what it would be like if we were in the fast in the stocks and there our backs ripped open. For doing what? For preaching the gospel, being faithful to the Lord. And there they were. And you think these two brethren, if anybody had a right to complain, they'd be complaining. Thinking about this, I'd go like Paul and Silas there, I'd probably be saying, "Well, why aren't Luke here? They was doing the same thing we were doing here, Luke and Timothy. Why aren't they in here with us?" That's what fifth graders do. You punish two of them and four of them involved, they'll be ratting out the other two, won't they? Well, they did the same thing they had inside playing. We have them to sit inside. What's the problem here? That's the human nature. But I'm telling you, something other than human nature was working here. There was Paul and there was Silas, and they were locked there. But they were thankful that they could suffer a little bit for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were, not, I'm sure, not happy they were in that condition. But I'm telling you, they were preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and persecution had come upon them. And so while they were there, they did the thing they should be doing, we ought to be doing. And it's certainly good news for us when we get in trouble like this, because we've done what the Lord would have us do. What should we do? Pray. Pray. And they prayed. They prayed. They didn't pray silently either. They kept praying out loud. That's one thing that the apostles, throughout the Acts of the Apostles, you'll see they never could shut them up. They did everything they could to them, but they didn't shut them up. The more they told them to be quiet, the more they preached. The more they said, you get quiet, the louder they got. They run them out of one city, they go to another city. They wouldn't go to the city and sneak in. They'd go in preaching. And the next thing you know, they come right back into that city they were running out of, preaching again. And they said, we can't. And they tried everything they could to take the name of Jesus and do it, put it under. But rather than hinder the spread of the gospel, they brought about the spread of the gospel. Brethren, the reason you and I are not suffering as old Baptists today the way they did is that we're a lot quieter than they are. And the louder we get, the more you can expect the persecution. I want to get loud, don't you? I pray the Lord will bless us. I don't mean just physically loud. I want to share the gospel of salvation by the full, complete salvation by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here they were. And at midnight, and it's dark. You know, you think at the end of prison, it's dark during the day, but it's even at midnight. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And I got about 2 minutes to put in a whole hour and a half, because this next part just makes me get goosebumps. And the prisoners heard them. Don't miss that. And the prisoners heard them. Now I wonder what was in that prison. I'll guarantee you wasn't a lot of good people there. I was two there, Paul and Silas, but probably thieves and robbers and murderers and those awaiting death. Those, who knows? I don't know all about that. Don't want to speculate too far. I just know there's more than one of them. It wasn't just Paul and Silas. They were the ones praying and they were the ones singing, but there were some prisoners that heard them. Wonder what they sang, you know. Wonder, you think any one of them was worried whether they started right on time or whether they had the meter right or whether they hit the right note? Do you think they were concerned about the pitch? Do you think it was important whether the Apostle Paul could sing lead or whether he sang a part? Do you think it was important that I'll tell you what was important. Their heart was given to them by God to make a joyful noise unto the Lord in a very hard and difficult time. And God gave them a song in the night. And they sang about Jesus Christ. And I believe probably one of the old Psalms, whichever, the Psalms of David. They were declaring those wonderful truths, and there were prisoners. You know what a man by nature would say? Would you people hush up? You're making way too much noise. But those prisoners didn't do that. They heard them. They heard them. So how do you know they heard them? Because when the doors got opened to the prisons by the earthquake, not a single prisoner left. You talking about miracle after miracle? Some of these are very clear. The earthquake was clearly a miracle. You go open the door to jailhouse down here in any of these places around us. You go down here and open the jailhouse doors and see what happens. See if everybody just sits in the cell. That's why they got those locks and all the ways of keeping it locked. And I'm telling you, here in these prisons, the door being locked was important, and the jailer was totally shocked because he knew the doors were open. He said, it's all over for me, because he knew they had left him a charge and they were going to hold him responsible. What they were going to do to them, they were going to do to him because they were gone. He said, it'd be better for me just to take my life, and he was going to do that. And this man had just thrust them into, put them in that horrible place, put them in there. If you'd have been the Apostle Paul, you probably would have felt like, well, go on and take your life then. The way you've treated me earlier? No. He preached to him Jesus. I'm not going to get to all of this because if I got in it, I'd be here a long, long time. I guess the thing that really is most important on my mind is that you and I really recognize how important it is we preach. How important it is we declare Jesus Christ. There is nothing we can do to add one to that number that Jesus died for. Don't cause one not to be there. Every one of them will be in heaven in immortal glory. All of them will be there without any need from man. And there's nothing preaching can do to help that or hinder that. But I'm telling you, the message we have to declare is a message that will enlighten the hearts of God's little children. And they need to know who they are and what they ought to be doing. The Lord has sent us to preach that wonderful gospel. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, please remember me and God bless you.